T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I saw a study that said that Hurricane Ian is going to end up as the second biggest and worst disaster as far as insured losses, upwards of $65 billion for Southwest Florida and that entire area. How are you guys doing right now, 6 weeks or so since the storm?
It depends on where you are in our area. The more inland you go, the more normal it feels. The closer you go to the coast, it is a stark reminder right in your face that there's a long way to go for the folks who are out at the coast. We're talking about Fort Myers Beach and Sanibel and Pine Island and those places that really took the brunt of it. It's going to be years before they're back to normal. But as you go inland, people have been able to recover. You still see debris piles and things like that because there's just an awful lot to pick up. So there are still there's still evidence on the ground of what happened back in September. But it certainly feels a lot more normal where we are in Fort Myers, farther away from the coast than if you went out by the beach.
There were areas, and I think Sanibel was one of them, that were completely cut off from the mainland. Have they been able to reestablish as far as people being able to get back onto the actual mainland?
They actually have, and that was one of the biggest success stories of the recovery efforts. The Sanibel Causeway was severed. That is the artery that gets you from the mainland out to Sanibel. The only road onto and off of Pine Island was also severed. So simply just having access to those places was in peril for a while. And it was one of those things where the county kind of felt like they needed more help. So they got the state involved and the state came in and they were able to get temporary solutions into place pretty fast, which was really remarkable. And one of the things that you started to hear not only from the governor, but also the president when he came was, we will worry about the monetary aspects of this later. We'll worry about the money later. Get done what needs to get done. And to all of their credit, we had temporary solutions in place to have access restored pretty quick.
How long did it take before most of the area got electricity back?
Well, not everybody has electricity back on Pine Island and Fort Myers Beach. It's coming back. I would say for most everybody, it was maybe about 2 weeks tops. I was out for 3 or 4 days. I was certainly among the luckier folks to have it back. Some of my coworkers never lost power, which was great for them. Other folks were looking at a couple of weeks. I know most of the city of Cape Coral, which is our largest city, was out for about 2 weeks. The struggle that they're having in those areas along the coast was, it's not just a restoration, it's basically a complete rebuild on the grid itself. And you're starting from scratch. You can't work with what you already had because it was just so badly damaged. So for those folks there, they're rebuilding the whole grid, but they're getting there. You know, we're having stories of, you know, parts of these places are getting their power back, but not everybody yet.
Have you found that some people have said enough? We've had enough of hurricanes and natural disasters, and they're going to look to move, or are the people staying?
Some businesses have said, that's enough. We're just not going to be able to come back from this, and have decided they're not going to reopen. I don't get this sense that the people who live here have that mentality. It's such a beautiful area, and you knew that you are in a place where hurricanes often hit. And if they're going to hit the coast and they're going to hit your part of the coast, it's going to be a problem. And it's one of the trade-offs that you have. I do think that this is going to at least lead to some reckoning to say, have we done enough to bolster the houses and the structures that we have at these places? Do we need to get them up to code? Do we need to put them on stilts? Do we need to do things to kind of take additional steps so that if this were to happen again, God forbid, maybe we'd be in a better spot than we were last time.
Can there be any kind of building standards that could possibly stand up to a Category 4 storm like you saw in that area?
I mean, from everything that I know about the building code, you can, you know, you can try to get something up to a standard that might be able to withhold a Cat 3 or a Cat 4. Mm-hmm. But I think they understand the reality that a Cat 5 is just a wicked storm and you can do what you can. But I don't know that you're going to be able to reach that standard. That said, you definitely get the sense that the houses that were built more recently did better in this storm than those that were built back in the 1970s. And that's just, you know, common sense when you look at it. I can see it in my own neighborhood, which was built recently, that our houses did pretty well. I don't know. I'm not an expert when it comes to housing. But I do think there are some conversations that are going to take place because of what happened with Ian.
Do governmental entities talk about lessons that they learned from this storm?
I think they do. I think they bristle a little bit because there was some criticism that was lobbied at the Lee County leaders in terms of, could you have evacuated sooner? Could you have called for a mandatory evacuation sooner? And what you run into is a debate about... For a while, it looked like this storm was going to hit Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And then it took a little turn at the end to hit Southwest Florida. Southwest Florida was never outside of the cone of concern. There was always a fear that we were possibly going to get the brunt of this storm. But there was a little bit of a late turn in terms of the center of the cone of concern. And they have sort of looked at that and said, well, you know, everybody was saying it was Tampa. We didn't need to. But at the same time, if you follow what the county has put in place in terms of when they should be doing evacuations, under their own definitions, they probably should have done it sooner. So I think there is going to be discussions and lessons learned from this. But at the same time, I think everybody is loath to admit any kind of fault, for what happened.
Do the people still need things? Do they need help still from the rest of the country?
Yeah, I mean, some people do. There are some people who are out of their houses because their houses are not livable and are living in shelters or living elsewhere. Like a lot of places, we were struggling even before the hurricane. Yeah. You know, we were doing stories frequently about food banks and food distributions and how people were in need in ways that they hadn't been before. And the storm did nothing but amplify that. People are still struggling around here.
Is there still
no doubt about that?
Is there still a topic of conversation every day within your newscast?
Yes, we have done a story related to the hurricane, probably multiple stories about the hurricane in literally every newscast that we've done since the end of September when this storm came through. There was a time where I would say the entirety of the newscast was based around Hurricane Ian, and that started to subside over time, in part because there were fewer stories to cover, and in part because I think there was a sense among the viewers, like, you know, we get it, this is important, there's a lot going on, but, you know, we've kind of got some hurricane fatigue at this point.
I was just going to ask, are you seeing the fatigue, kind of like what we saw during COVID, that there was fatigue in that as well? And I guess you can only be reminded so many times, yes, we're in dire straits, and things are going to take a long time to get back to normal.
I think a little bit. I think the thing that we started to feel as a television station, you know, we were on the air 24/7 for about a week after the storm, and we started to get the sense from the viewers that was, you know, obviously there's a lot going on. Obviously this is very important and there's a lot to talk about, but you guys mind, you know, breaking off and maybe showing one of the sitcoms or something? We could really just use a laugh at this point.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.